message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today, and we do trust that our time together in God's Word will be some help to you and be a blessing to you, be some things that will help you to understand and enjoy God's Word and be able to see it go to work and live in your life. This is a Bible study program, and it's specially designed for people that want to study the Bible, the Scriptures. And, of course, in order to study the Scripture, you have to be a child of God. You first need to be a saint. Now, the student of Scripture has to be a child of God because it's the Spirit of God that is the teacher of the Word of God. And if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure that you have eternal life, then you need to know that. And what God wants you to know from His Word is that He'll save you this instant if you'll simply rest in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit your works, quit your trying, quit your religion and all the things that you would do, and trust what His Son has done for you at Calvary. Now, for those of us that are saved, the Word of God is sort of like the owner's manual. It's the handbook that explains to us our identity and all that God's doing today and our part in it. We're studying the book of Romans, the four foundation principles of grace laid down in the book of Romans, and we're in Romans 14 and 15 now, looking at the issue of the application of the doctrine of grace to the details of our life. And there's a verse in Romans 14, that sort of summarizes what you're going to find here in verse number 5, Romans 14, verse 5. He says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now that eliminates careless living. Now, the Christian life is not a careless life. It's not a life lived for self and just lived on any whim of whatever you want to do. We live purposefully. If there's anything that's clear about the Christian life, is that the Christian life is a life of purposeful living, a life of faith. Everything you do in the Christian life, you're to do by faith. In fact, in the last part of this chapter, he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The idea is that you are purposed and designed by the grace of God that you would live your life being fully persuaded, being walking by faith and making choices and decisions based upon an understanding of who you are in Christ and applying that understanding of your identity to the details of life. Now, that all has to do with the ability to discern what God's doing. And what this chapter has to do with is the heart motive and the heart attitude. It's not a chapter about doctrine in the sense of, well, if one guy believes one era and another guy believes another era, this guy's era is just as good as this guy's truth. That isn't that at all. It's not talking about things that are true or not true. Not things that are right or that are wrong in the sense of doctrinally correct or scripturally wrong. It's talking about the areas where there's not any scriptural pronouncement about it. For example, areas where you'd have to make up your mind about convictions. For example, the virgin birth of Christ is not a doctrine that can be vitiated. It's not. There's no question, there's no debate about the virgin birth of Christ or the deity of Christ or the blood of Christ being the basis of our salvation or justification today being by grace through faith plus nothing. Those are not questions that are involved here. These are not questions about the essence of the faith. These are questions about what we would call, I suppose you'd say, debatable things, different opinions on non-essentials. For example, the question, should Christians go to the movies? You know, people on one side, people on the other. Should Christians have a television? People on one side, people on the other. You've got one because you're watching me. I mean, there are a lot of folks that believe, you know, it's wrong for a Christian to have a television. Do this or that or the next. I've got lists, you know. I've written them down for years, long list. Should a Christian woman wear pants? You know, that kind of thing. And should you wear jewelry? And, you know, all kind of goofball things that people come up with one way or the other. Should you watch football on Sunday? Or, you know, should you cut your grass on Sunday? People have real strong convictions one way and some another way. Well, there's no verse of Scripture that settles that issue. If there was, all those issues would be settled. See? There are debatable. There are issues where people have different opinions. And what he's saying is, okay, there are going to be different opinions. Some people are going to have more informed opinions than others. But the issue among the brethren is to be your heart attitude about your opinion and about how to relate to the other person who has a different opinion than you have. And when you have different opinions on non-essential things, you shouldn't permit the adversary to come in and cause division and adversity, and you shouldn't let those things adversely affect the fellowship between you and another believer, even if that other believer is doing something that you wouldn't do. You don't require him to live by your convictions. And you learn how to handle these issues properly on the basis of grace. And all of that comes to the issue of discerning God's will. And how, on an individual basis, do you know what God wants you to do in a given situation? And that's the bulk of what he's talking about here in the latter part of Romans 14. When he says, I know, verse 14, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not thy then your good be evil spoken. And he goes on to describe how you need to make some choices. Here's something that you know scripturally and doctrinally is okay for you to do. But it's a problem for someone else if you do it. So you're going to restrict yourself and you're not going to use your liberty over here if it hurts someone else. You enjoy your liberty. You praise God for your liberty and you use your liberty, but you're not going to flaunt it and insist on serving yourself in your liberty. The question comes up, how am I going to know what the will of God is for me in these areas, and how am I going to discern them, and how am I going to decide where there's not a clear scriptural mandate or a clear scriptural statement about what I should do? How am I going to decide how I should progress? Should a Christian smoke cigarettes? Should a Christian drink alcoholic beverages, beer, wine, strong drink? Should you? Bible says, be not drunk with wine. Well, what if you don't get drunk? There are people on both sides. Down south, where I was raised, I mean, when I moved up to the Midwest, in 1979, I moved from Alabama to Chicago, Illinois. I'm not aware of ever, I was 30 years old, I'm not aware of ever having even eaten in a restaurant that served alcoholic beverages. Down south, you didn't do that. You didn't even eat in a restaurant. Christians didn't drink alcohol, but they smoked. The break between Sunday school and church where I grew up, that was called the smoking break. I mean, that's the way you did it. We moved to Chicago, became a part of a fellowship there. The chairman of the board in the assembly there was a man who was a maitre d' and then a manager of a restaurant where they sold all, they had a big bar. And I looked at that and I thought, whoa, that's different. And yet they had a lady who wanted to join the church. And they had a discussion with her on the board there. And the only thing they said negative about her was that she smoked cigarettes. And they almost didn't let her join the church because she smoked. Now, in the Midwest, you can drink in moderation. Wine, beer, whatever. I don't even know. I've never drunk anything, so I don't any kind of alcohol. I've never tasted alcohol of any kind. I don't know. I never smoked cigarettes either. But you can drink, but you can't smoke. Down south, you can smoke, but you can't drink. You know, and you say, well, wait a minute. What's that? We had a youth camp in Alabama. My wife and I and a number of other people worked in youth camp for years down there. In youth camp in Alabama, you would never take the boys and girls, the young teenagers and teenage boys and girls swimming at the same time. We call that mixed bathing. You never had the boys and the girls swim at the same time. You can imagine the shock that it was to my wife and I the first time we ever went to a youth camp outside of the South, and there were the preachers swimming out there with other women or with women from the meeting. You know, there's a preacher and he's out there just frolicking, carrying. And my wife and I looked at that and said, whoa. And we, you know, wow, what's going on here? Well, how do you deal with that? I mean, what do you do? Say, Ichabod, you know, Carnival of the Flash, terrible, and condemn them? Well, there's no verse of Scripture that justifies any of that. Whichever side. Those are what we call equal. Those are areas of where you have to make some decisions about what God's will for you is. Now, there's some scriptural guidelines, and there are some principles, and there's a whole lot of different things that you can, you know, that you can learn from in those areas that I just mentioned. But there's an awful lot of other things that people do that you know, that boy, you just you're hard pressed to find something that's going to tell you what you can do one way or the other. Fishing on Sunday, for example, that's a good one. Participating in sports. A lot of folks don't. Eating in the church building. You ever heard anybody say it's wrong to eat in the church building? I know folks who get mad. I'm talking break fellowship and call you an apostate if you eat in church buildings. Wearing a two-piece swimsuit for you ladies. Playing pool. Oh, my goodness. I saw some folks just get chewed out not too long ago because there was a missionary in the home and they found out that the people had a pool table in the basement. And this missionary couple went after these folks. They were staying there with them. Went after them, telling them how the devil was going to get their kids. I mean, this is a fine Christian family. Love the Lord. Believe the book. Soul winners. Participate in the work of God. Kids going to go to hell, to the devil, because they got a pool table. That's, you know, they obviously didn't agree. Two different ideas. What's the deal? Buying insurance. Dancing. On and on and on. You get the idea. All kind of questions. Well, how do you decide? And see, that it's those kind of things that we're talking about in Romans 14. How do you decide? What do you do? Well, there is a, come with me to Ephesians chapter number 1. There is a common idea about the will of God and about how God's will is arranged in your life that you need to understand the fallacy of it so that you'll know how to do. There is a common idea that your life is like a circle, and that God has he has your life from the time you get saved to the time of death or the rapture, whichever comes first, and you go to be with him. That God has back here somewhere before the foundation of the world, you know, before anything was ever created, he planned your life. And he has a prearranged map for your life, through life, where everywhere you should be, and he's already pre-planned it, and that everything you should do or need to do or can do or possibly will do, he already rearranged that all the way from the time you got, in fact, from the womb, but we're going to just talk about saved people, from the time you got saved till death or the rapture, whichever comes first. And what you need to do, that there is, in other words, that there's this prearranged life map for you. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, what's going to happen is God's going to lay that life map out, and then he's going to lay out what your life did. the pattern of your life and how, what did you do with your life? And every place where your life crosses the map, you're going to get a well done. And every place that it doesn't, you're going to get a woe is me. And that this prearranged life map is there, and that you need to discern that life map. That God, the place where God prearranged and thing He prearranged for you to do, you need to discern that. And the way you discover it is by studying the Scripture, reading the circumstances out here, what's God teaching you? This thing happens in your life, and what's God teaching you through that? And by interpreting your impressions about things. And the way you're going to know the Word of God, the will of God, is through God's Word, your circumstances, and your feelings, your impressions, that inner voice speaking to you. Because there is this prearranged life map. And what you want to do, here's the will of God for your life, and you want to get right in the center of that will. And where you want to be is right in the center. There's a place right there. You don't want to be off over here to the 40%. You know, it's like a bullseye. And you don't want to be out here at the 20. And you don't want to be out here at the 10. And you don't want to be out here at the 5. You want to be, I guess I ought to put the bullseye in the middle there. You want to be right in the center, 100% in the will of God. How many times have you said, how many times have I said, how many times have I heard people say, oh God, I want to be right in the center of your will. Now, the only thing wrong with this system up here is that it just didn't sow. There is absolutely nothing like that in the Bible. Now look at here. The way God communicates His will to you is through His written Word. Okay? The way God's will is communicated is through His Word. The way God teaches you is through His Word. The circumstances of life, your feelings and impressions, you know what they are? They're just that. The circumstances of life are the context in which you go and do the will of God that you've discovered in His Word. These are not means of revelation and communication to you. God isn't teaching you in circumstances, He teaches you in His Word. A man came to me a couple of weeks ago and was sharing with me some things that had happened on his job. And he was sharing with me about the fact he almost lost his job. He got into a dispute with his boss, with his supervisor, where the supervisor was wanting him to do something that wasn't right, and he refused to do it, and he stood his ground. And he went through a couple of weeks of real difficulty. Nerve-wracking difficulty. This man has a very good job, and it's very hard to replace a good job like that, well-paying job in our day. And he spent several 3 weeks almost not knowing he was going to have a job the next day or not. And finally, the thing resolved itself. And one of his fellow employees came to him and said, "See, God was trying to teach you patience through these things." And my friend looked at him and said, "No." God gave me His Word to teach me patience. The things that were happening were for me to apply His Word in by being patient. You see, God doesn't give you the circumstances to teach you. He teaches you in His Word. Then the circumstances are where you go and live the reality of the Word of God. Your feelings, your inner impressions, you know what they are? They just tell you how you feel about it. They may be right, they're probably wrong. Your emotions, your feelings and your emotions, if you just write down, every time you think of that word feelings, if you write down that word dumb, you got it. Your emotions are dumb. They have no thinking capacity of their own. They only know what they're told, and they believe everything they're told. Take, for example, a scary movie. The other night there was a commercial on the television, and it was for a Freddy Krueger or some kind of horror movie. And I was watching the commercial, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm just kind of half watching it, and I was reading a book, and I just glance up at it and look back down. And the music caught my attention, so I looked up at it, and all of a sudden, there's this monster just jumped out of nowhere on the screen. Blah! I literally almost jumped out of the chair I was sitting in. I threw the book out on the floor and sat straight up, and my heart's beating about, scared me to death. And my wife and my son sitting in the room, of course, they had a big laugh at Dad. Well, you know what that was? That was my emotions. There was nothing real about that. There was no monster. I'm telling my family all the time. We watch something on TV and my wife will just be crying, you know. Oh, it's just a wonderful love story. I'm saying, it's only a movie. You ever seen the movie An Affair to Remember? Every lady watching knows what I'm talking about. You've all seen it. We've all seen it. You know, the man and fella and gal supposed to meet on the Empire State Building, and she doesn't get there because she's hit by the car, and he doesn't know why, and she didn't want to tell him that she's been injured and can't walk, and finally they meet, and by the end of that thing, you're just, you know, it's just the consummate love story with the happy ending. It's just a story. It's not real. But see, your emotions don't know that. They get all involved because they believe whatever they're being told. Now, if you input error, your emotions are going to have erroneous reactions. If you input truth, you're going to get true reactions. But all you're getting are feelings. All your feelings tell you is how you feel about something. And you might feel about it one way this minute and another way the next minute. You go by your feelings, you're nothing but fickle. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can't go by that. The way God reveals His will is in His Word. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 9. Talking about the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1 verse 8. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Notice very carefully that God has made known unto us the mystery of His will. That word mystery means a secret. Okay? The secret will of God has been made known, the verse says. Now you think about that. There is no more secret will of God that is hidden. God has revealed His secret will today. And it's not something that you have to grope around and try to find and think maybe, well, is it here? Or, Lord, did you want me to go over there? Or did you plan for me to be here? Or did you have a divine appointment for me over there? It isn't that at all. God has revealed His secret will. The secret of His will is that He's forming the church, the body of Christ, and that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained that members of His body would walk in. And what you and I need to do is find out what God's will is. What is God doing today in this mystery program? And then go do that in the circumstances of our life, regardless of how we feel about it. It's as we take His Word and learn experientially to apply it to the circumstances of life that we gain wisdom and discernment as to how to understand how to deal with the differences and the problems and the blessings and the disputes and the challenges in our midst with maturity. Rather than searching for a secret that has already been revealed. Okay? There's not this secret plan here. That's a figment of someone's imagination. What there is a secret church, the body of Christ that God's forming. If you want to do the will of God in your life, find out what God's doing today and do that. And what He's doing is forming this, we're His workmanship. There's this work He's accomplishing, created in Christ. There's this body He's forming. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Those works are found, what God's doing today is found in Romans through Philemon in your Bible, in the epistles of Paul, that demonstrate the program of the grace of God. Now you want to know how to do God's will, get in God's Word rightly divided, find out what God's doing today, and do that in the details of your life. And as you do it, as you, David said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. As you store that Word up in your mind and in your soul, and then you prayerfully, thoughtfully, purposefully apply it to the details of life, then you gain experience. You gain wisdom and prudence. And you walk in wisdom, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not looking for something that isn't there, but living in the reality of who God has made you in His Son for His glory. Then you can walk as an adult in the family of God for His glory. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, How God Guides. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a pre-subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 354. That's tape offer number 354. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'm happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best between next time for another Message of Grace.